You're listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast, where it's not always advisable, but it is always endorsed.
Hello again, everybody. This is Adam Tracy, and this is the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. And today I have with me the great and powerful Rosa. Rosa, how are you?
Hello, Adam. I'm very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so Rosa had an interesting story, and we've communicated a little bit offline. And you were, as I understand it, an escort for some period of time, correct?
That's right. I was an escort offering services online.
Gotcha. And so what was unique about your experience? Well, let's draw it back. So how did you first come to get into the business, right? Like, generally speaking, like, what was the hook? What was the draw? What was the need that drove you to escorting?
So I'm a college student, and I was looking for just a quick summer job that lent me some money to pay for school. I ran into this Craigslist advertisement, just a gig, like a creative gigs. And well, the podcast was for models, but it was pretty obvious what was going on. So I just shoot an email, a couple of pictures. I got a call from a girl, and 2 days later, I was flying to Orange County to start working.
Interesting. So, you know, as far as like college jobs go, right? Like, having been to college, you're broke most of the time. This was an opportunity to make money, and more money than what your average college job typically would pay, I would assume.
Yes, absolutely. We didn't really discuss how much it was going to be per day, but it ended up being way more than I ever imagined.
Okay. That's good. So you go down to Orange County, and conceivably you've been brought in by this girl, and I'm assuming she's in the business as well.
So she has never been on the business. She's what's called the booker. So yeah. She is like a manager for multiple girls that do the same. And she basically manages all the like the back end of it. She manages the scheduling. She posts the advertisements on the websites, and she talks to the clients. She calls us when they're there, and we basically never talk to them. She does all the back end work, and we just show up for the job.
And so obviously you have to pay her. So she's really acting as like a madam you know, lack of a better word, in a sense. And you obviously have to pay her. How much do you have to pay her?
It's 50-50.
50-50. So for every dollar you made, 50 cents of it went to her for her administration and booking and other services that she otherwise provided.
Yes, that's it.
All right. That's kind of a steep hit, right? No?
It is. It is. And it's a very competitive business. I remember on the first day, I had another booker coming in as a client. He had this fake profile, and he was basically recruiting girls from her. And there's like a lot of shade being thrown from both sides, and it's like very competitive. He was offering to just take 30% of the earnings. I really decided not to take his offer, first because he was a male and I really wanted to work with a female, and secondly because he was saying that it was not going to be in a hotel room, that he had a house and that I was going to be put in that house, and so I didn't have to pay the hotel room, which is something that was paid from my income and not from hers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I ended up like not taking that offer of just the 30% because it just sounded way more shady and dangerous.
Yeah, I gotcha. So you explained to me like marketing, obviously, when you're talking about something that for all intents and purposes is illegal in many parts of the country, right? Marketing's difficult because to the extent that you put yourself out there offering a service that could be construed to be illegal, you're basically setting your own self up, right? So how did you go about marketing? Like, how did you find clients? Like, what was your go-to?
So this is a very specific website that clients pay $1,000 to join. And to make every profile as a girl, you pay $500. It's a private website. It's not out there in the internet. It's just like with this login, you can search for the girls, but all the advertisements are made within this platform and not on various sites on the internet. It's this very one.
So it was like a, like kind of a secure captive site. So like, I, like one couldn't just access it if they knew the domain and then they'd go to the site. Like it's not like a public website. It's like a private website.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So you pay the $500 or does the madam pay the $500 to get your profile?
She paid it.
She paid. So you're on this website and you don't have to do any of the booking. You don't have to talk to anybody. You just are basically on call from your partner, right? Like your madam.
That's right. And she never told me which was the name of the website. One of the clients once showed me, but I never had access to, like, I didn't know what was my username. I didn't know passwords. I didn't know how to access the website. She did all that. And I just was taking pictures and sending her pictures for the advertisements. And that's it. Yeah, receiving the clients.
So as far as like marketing goes and from like marketing perspective, it was actually pretty straightforward because one, you weren't controlling it. And two, it was this sort of non-public website that you had no access to in the first place, right? So I guess the question becomes, how do you know, being in the position you're in, how did you know that you were actually getting 50%?
So the clients would pay cash, and what it would be is $300 an hour, $200 per half hour. And the clients would come, they would give me the money first, I would put it in the secure lock, and then I would make, at the end of the day, I would go to an ATM, deposit all the money that I got, and then send her the money. So I was the one that was always having the money first. She was always like calling me, like constantly calling me to send the PayPal, the money through PayPal, because that's what she uses. It's the most secure, according to her. I got my PayPal account blocked several times. I had to make different emails and have them confirm and all this stuff because PayPal was saying that we were sending too much money. So yeah, I was the one handling the money first.
Okay, so you got paid. So she wasn't like running a card. She wasn't like taking like a Venmo or a Stripe or anything like that. And then you got paid, deposited the money, then had to pay her through PayPal of all platforms.
Yeah, that's right.
And so PayPal, you know, they frown upon like just about everything, right? So they obviously frowned upon your businesses at one point, and like payments is something that we're really interested in. Like, so they shut you down at some point, and now you have no way to pay your girl because your PayPal doesn't work.
Exactly. So I had to borrow accounts from friends. I had to open multiple accounts. I was in calls with PayPal multiple times. They would like unblock it. Then I would send like just $500 and then it will be blocked again. So it was a real hustle.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, it's like you talk about today and like how easy it is to move money, and then people want to use PayPal for something that would clearly be against their terms of services, right? So nevertheless, so you do this, but this is like a summer gig, right? This is not like a career, obviously. This isn't anything other than a very well-paying summer job for a poor college student, right?
Exactly.
So how do you, eventually you quit. How does that come about? Do you just simply say quit and leave? Is there like consternation that you quit? Is there, you know, is it seamless? How does that kind of separation look like?
So I was clear with her from the beginning, and she was like, yeah, do it for a week. And if you don't like it, you just quit. Like, it's no big deal. There's no attachments and stuff. But I realized at some point, and listening from her, that we were making more money than usual. It probably had to do with, like, the pictures were retouched, like very retouched, and they were like making a lot of money. Basically, I had some skills in Photoshop, and you know,
yeah,
we were like blowing it. And after I made my goal, that was 11,000, and that was in 7 days. I told her that was my goal. I was done there, so I decided to quit. And still to this day, I receive messages from her. The last one was actually from PayPal because I have blocked her from everywhere. So she messaged me from PayPal. She requested $1. She was saying like, hey, contact me. This is my phone number. Because basically, if she doesn't have girls, she doesn't make money.
Right. Was she here? I mean, was she like, did you ever physically meet her? Or was this all just like through the phone or text and everything like that? I mean, she, and even in the country, I mean, how did you know her?
She was based in Orange County, but I never got to meet her. She supposedly moved out before I came. And part of the reason she says that she charges 50% of the earnings is because she is all the time in the hotel, making sure the girls have everything they need, like backing them up, going in when the clients are coming in and out, just to check on them. But I never got to meet her, never got to even a video chat with her. She could have being anybody.
Right. I guess I glossed over this when you just said it, but this all happened in 7 days. Like this, I mean, you know, like when we were talking like earlier in the thing, you think, okay, fine, like summer job, maybe this went on for months, but this went on for literally like a week. Mm-hmm. And you made $11,000 in a week.
Yeah, I made 11 and she made 11. So
in theory, you made 22,000 and you had to pay her out 11. Oh, and that's obviously why PayPal was shutting down, because you're sending that amount of money in the context of 1 week and conceivably didn't have the same amount of money running through that account prior to engaging in what you're engaging in. So
absolutely. I don't think I sent more than $50 before that. You know?
And you never even met her. That's that in person. That's kind of funny. But so I guess like after you say, you know, I'm out, and how do you, you're on this website, like, how do you know you're off the website?
So I actually had the number of a client and I asked him to go in with me. I met him again. I asked him to go in into the website with me and see that she was not using my pictures. There are hundreds of girls on that website. So we don't really know. Like we went through, I was like hours scrolling down. I didn't see my pictures, but she could be using them. Like she could come one day and just like show, like, you know, publish my pictures. It's like something that I know I live with, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's you know, like there's obviously like legal protections against that, but to enforce those legal protections, then your secret becomes known, right? Like you couldn't like enforce that without effectively admitting to what you're telling me, and like, which, you know, obviously you keep secret. So that's kind of, yeah, I mean, that must be difficult to sort of have hanging over your head in theory, because, you know, you never know, of course. But that is some interesting stuff. So like after your 7 days, like you're done for the summer, right? Like, I mean, was it a great summer? Because like you only work 7 days, right? Was that like a summer of fun, right? I mean, it must have been, because geez, I mean.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I definitely do not regret. Like, I have never had so much money, and I couldn't say that I had any like bad or traumatic experiences from it. Like, I was pretty clear what was going on. People was very polite. It was not, like, it was pretty good. It was pretty good, yes.
Right. Would you go back to it?
No, definitely not. It's out of my ethics. Like, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't regret, but it's not, you know, it's a path that you can easily fall into and then be in love with the easy money. Like I met other girls that have been doing it for a couple years and all their habits have fallen into this lifestyle.
Right. And so yours was more of necessity based on requirements for school and stuff like that. So it wasn't your lifestyle by any stretch of the imagination. I get that. Well, that's intensely interesting. And I think like what I take away from it is the fact that one, you did this in 7 days and made $22,000. And two, that there's this website out there that you apparently need like referrals to even find. And it's just like this online booking system, which is crazy. And then the fact that you gave up 50% of your income and you still were content with that, which is really mind blowing, because like that's a huge cut. But yeah, you did it. It's a great story. It's a great story, I have to admit. I'm impressed by your entrepreneurial spirit, because I think if anybody could make $22,000 in a week, they would probably go ahead and do it. So in any event, I appreciate your time and I will definitely be following up, and I appreciate you being willing to tell your story here. And I know a lot of people will find it extremely interesting. So Rosa, thank you very much. And again, this is Adam Tracy of the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. Catch us on any platform where podcasts are listened to, Spotify, Apple, you name it, we're on it. So until next time, we will talk again.
Thank you for listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. For more episodes, visit us at adamtracy.io or your leading podcast providers.